Open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 112, 112th Psalm in your Scofield Bible, page 655. We'll read verses 1 through 7, the seventh verse being the text verse for this morning's message. Shall we stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God as is our custom? Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. And together on the text verse, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. And let's pray. Father, thank you for Sunday morning. Each and every Sunday morning, it's such a wonderful joy to start the day coming to this church. And Lord, we know what to expect in the way of thy blessing, in the way of people showing up, in the way of a message from thee through our preacher. But it's fresh nonetheless, because always there's some new truth. Always there's something fresh and wonderful about the service, even though we might come regularly Sunday after Sunday. Each Sunday is special. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for the preaching to follow. Thank you for our preacher. And thank you for these who've assembled. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning from that little line in Psalm 112, verse 7, which says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. These verses preceding this deal with a certain man, a certain kind of a man. And among other things it says about him, it says he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. That's my text and also the title. Our Heavenly Father, in these days of evil tidings, in these days when there's hardly any good news and there is, nobody prints it, in these days when our newspapers are mostly scandal sheets, and tidings come, tidings of war and unrest all over the world, tidings of financial difficulties, tidings of famine, tidings of revolution, so many evil tidings. Help us to learn from this man described in this 112th Psalm. Help me as I speak for the next few minutes and our people as they hear. Amen. As I said, this is not normal right here, fellas. Up a bit or treble or something is not like it usually is. As I said, something is different about this. Turn the bass down, treble up, turn me up. Something is not the same as you. That's good. I hold it right there. That's good. This man mentioned in Psalm 112 is described as being a man who feareth God. And then in the succeeding verses, it describes him. Please do not talk or misbehave. Look right carefully as I speak. In the description of this man is a statement that we need to hear in our day. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. This is a day of evil tidings. Our newspapers are full of them. I remember when newspapers used to tell about John Jones's aunt is here from Kentucky visiting for a few days. I remember when the news used to be good news, but now a bunch of scandalizers are putting out scandal sheets and most of our local papers are no more than a dignified inquirer. They contain little else and seem to be interested in nothing else but scandals and evil tidings. Reporters are employed to spend their time in police stations checking police stories, searching for something, and in some cases, no doubt, hoping for something that is a scandal or an evil tiding. Battles are described. Murder, rape, incest, riots are reported daily. Political scandals, rebellion, and civil wars are reported regularly. Kosovo, Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Northern Ireland, Afghanistan, Syria, and other insomniac areas find no rest, and we're kept awake worrying about them. Murders in our schools. Who ever thought that in America you'd be afraid to go to school in the morning? A young Hiles Anderson College faculty member a few years ago, driving down Highway 41 to work, suddenly a drunken driver crossed the center lane, head-on collision, and our music department head was killed immediately. A couple goes Christmas shopping a few years ago, and their daughter stays at home. A fire is started with a Christmas tree, and the daughter's in the bathroom and doesn't know about the fire, and she's burned to death. A lady reaches over to kiss her husband good morning and finds he's lifeless and passed away. A mother backs out of her driveway. Her 5-year-old child is in the back seat and drops out and is run over and killed. A husband goes to work one morning and never comes home, leaving his wife to live a life, the remainder of her life, without her husband. Young men are driving down the street. A bullet pierces the head of one of them. And all of us are shocked and dismayed. My good friend Dr. Joe Boyd sits beside his wife in a rehab center this morning. My good friend Edith Boyd can no longer even walk. It seems like every day evil tidings or bad tidings come. A couple did their best in rearing their child, only to have their hearts broken. I don't know of anything any worse than an ungrateful child. I don't know of anything any worse than a teenager, a child, that does not thank God, appreciate, and express that gratitude from the heart to the one who gave her or him life, and the one who has provided and worked and cared for and fed and clothed and housed. But it happens, and God have mercy on you, young people, that do not shout the praises of God that somebody fed you before you could feed yourself. A young pastor falls. Not a very long fall. But he lies this morning immobile, never to preach again. Young pastor is forsaken by his wife of many years. And today that young pastor, by her admission, an innocent man, will never preach again, no doubt, in a church. No longer will never pastor, or obviously never pastor again. The phone rings this morning. The news comes that Oliver Douglas has gone to heaven. I knew when it rang. I knew what the news was. And Mrs. Hiles answered the phone. Ms. Coles, I think, called her this morning. And as I realized, without Ms. Hiles telling me, tears welled up in my eyes because I love the guy. But the Bible says there is a man who in the day of evil tidings does not tremble. There is a man who gets the news of death and battle and crime, reads his newspaper, puts it down, gets up, and goes about his duties and responsibilities. There is a man who is not afraid of evil tidings. Don't misunderstand me. He does not enjoy evil tidings. He does not covet evil tidings. But evil tidings do not shake his faith in the omnipotent King of Kings who runs the whole show. Circumstances barely faze him. He seldom vacillates. He's as near to Christ as human being can be. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never drifts. He is not moved by every wind that sweeps the surface of his sea. or every storm that gives its winds, fierce winds, to his life. If the mountains be removed and cast in the midst of the sea, he will not desert his post to watch those mountains fall into the sea. Evil tidings do not render him hopeless or helpless. Though his heart can break, you cannot tell it's broken. And though he does not enjoy the evil tidings, he still keeps on going, mans his post, does not desert his responsibility, does what he's supposed to do, gets somebody's post to get up, works like he's supposed to work, because he is not afraid of evil tidings. He is at his post, on duty and on time. He has enough strength to share with others, and his banks of enthusiasm overflow in the lives of other people. He is dynamic, kinetic, and static in his life. His secret strength is seen by all. Oh, don't misunderstand me. Death comes into his family. Don't misunderstand me. Heartbreak comes into his breast. Don't misunderstand me. Confusion comes into his mind. Don't misunderstand me. Wavering comes into his steps. But here is a man who fears God and knows that God is still on his throne, and he is not afraid of evil tidings. His assurance is contagious. He is the giver of riches not obtained by silver and gold. He is not callous. He is not bitter. He is not trembly. Evil tidings do not render him helpless, as I said a while ago. What disturbs others flees from him. He is a shelter for others in the time of storm. Oh, don't misunderstand me. He shares the discomfort of others, but they share his strength during their mutual discomfort. He is a pavilion in the time of fear, a companion in the time of loneliness, a commissary in the time of need, an arsenal in the time of battle, an apothecary in the time of illness, a distributor in the time of selfishness, and a benefactor in the time of selfish beneficiaries. Just what gives this man? Here's the same stimulus comes to one man and another, and this man crumbles and this man stands. What is it that causes one man not to be afraid of evil tidings, and the other crumbles when heartache comes and heartbreak comes? What is it? Just what gives this man hope in the time of despair? What gives this man rest in the time of toil? What gives this man sleep in the time of insomnia? What gives this man assurance in the time of doubt? What gives this man quiet in the time of volatility? What gives this man passivity in the times of pressure? What gives this man tranquility in the times of hypertension? I have news, ladies and gentlemen. There's a way that you can live in this old world when evil tidings come and go and still have the peace of God inside your breast. What is the answer? The one who comforts you, who hurts as much as you hurt. The one who strengthens you, who bears the same burden that you bear. What's the difference in one man and the other? What's the difference in this man that crumbles, or this woman that crumbles and says, I can't face tomorrow, and this fellow who says, I've had the same heartache you've had, but I will face tomorrow? What's the difference? You'll find the answer in the beginning of that weird little prophecy of doom called Obadiah. A little prophecy that is nothing but doom, nothing but the pronouncing of doom. And yet tucked away, almost hidden, in that little prophecy of doom is a little statement that says, we have heard tidings from the Lord. He is not afraid of evil tidings because he has heard some good tidings. He is not afraid of the evil tidings that comes from the evil one, because he spends his time in the good tidings coming from the righteous one. He reads his Bible in the morning before he reads the newspaper. He reads Revelation before he reads of Revolution. He reads the Tribune before he reads the Tribune. He reads the sun's times before he reads the sun times. He reads the inspirer before he reads the inquirer. You wonder why you're all uptight, all shook up. You sit there and you watch those stupid soap operas, and you watch queers and perverts and bisexuals and whoremongers and all the rest of it, and wonder why you tremble. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there is a rock of ages where you can rest upon the good news of the Lord God in heaven.
What makes this man so secure? He's not afraid of evil tidings.
He reads the Gospels before he hears the gossips. He reads the major prophets before he reads the financial doomsayers. He reads about the Prince of Peace before he reads about the perils of war. He reads what God is doing before he reads what man is doing. He reads about God's omnipotence before he reads about man's depravity. He reads about God's strength before he reads about man's weakness. He reads about God's omniscience before he reads about man's ignorance. He reads about God's omnipresence before he reads about man's confinement. He reads about the sanctuary before he reads the obituary. There's only one thing wrong with this old sin-cursed world. We're reading evil tidings rather than good tidings.
And so this man is the one who's not afraid of evil tidings, because he has tidings from the Lord. Listen carefully.
At the grave,
he says, he shall not return to me, but I shall go to him.
In trouble, he says,
let not your heart be troubled. He believed in God, but he's also in me.
In my Father's house are many mansions.
If it were not so, I would have told you.
I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Hey, that's pretty good tidings right there. I will come again and receive you unto myself, and where I am, there ye may be also.
In fear, he says, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid.
In weariness, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. In death, he says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In want, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. In failure, he says, the just man falleth 7 times, but riseth up again. Oh, I long for folks to believe this book again. I long for folks to be more interested in this book than the morning newspaper. I ask you a question this morning. Did you pick up your newspaper first, or did you pick up your Bible first? No wonder we're cracking up. No wonder psychiatrists are getting rich on a bunch of feeble Christian people. I'll tell you why. Because we want to read man's bad news before God's good news.
In illness, he sings, the great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus.
In need, he says, my God shall supply all your need according to riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In weakness, he says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me.
He has heard tidings from the Lord.
This man, this stable man, this man you can set your watch by, this man who is like a rock of ages, this man who is a sure foundation, this man who is almost like the Lord in the fact that in him there is no variability, the shadow turning. Let the storms come, and let the death bed come, and let the heartache come, and let the trials come, and let the bad news come. He simply says, I've got some good news I've got to read, and he is not therefore afraid of evil tidings.
He's heard tidings from the Lord. He's heard the tidings that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them that are called according to his purpose.
He's heard tidings from the Lord. He's heard we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. He's heard tidings from the Lord. He's heard greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I don't know any better news than that. Let the devil run roughshod. I got somebody right in here who can lick his pants off.
He's heard tidings from the Lord. He's heard I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me.
He's heard tidings from the Lord. Call on me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He's heard tidings from the Lord. There's nothing too hard for God. As the lady said a while ago, there's nothing too hard for God. But how am I going to make it? There's nothing too hard for God. But I can't face tomorrow. There's nothing too hard for God.
Ladies and gentlemen, you just put yourself up beside this old book that never changes, and you put your trust and faith in that book and that the evil tide. Sure, Oliver Douglas is gone. I love the guy. A real man, married to a real woman, a godly man, with a godly wife. And now, the day we saw him as he was just about to knock at the door of death. But ladies and gentlemen, Rock of Ages, death for me, let me hide myself in thee. You can't shake the man who hears the tidings from the Lord. He's heard tidings from the Lord. He's not afraid of evil tidings. He's heard, is there anything too hard for the Lord? He's heard tidings for the Lord, and I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. He's heard tidings for the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's heard tidings for the Lord. I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. He's heard tidings for the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not weary. And they shall walk and not faint. You hear me carefully, ladies and gentlemen. It's time you turned off 90% of what you're watching on that box and 90% of what you're listening to from that little radio box. And it's time you put your paper aside for a while and got the blessed word of God out and heard the good news from heaven instead of the bad news from earth, and the good news from God instead of bad news from man, and the good news from the Creator instead of bad news from the critic. And it's time that you said, I too will join the man. I will not be afraid of evil tidings. I've got a book full of good tidings. He's heard tidings from the Lord. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He's heard tidings from the Lord. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. He's heard tidings from the Lord. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's heard tidings of the Lord. He that dwelt in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Who is this man who's not afraid of evil tidings? He's the one who's heard tidings of the Lord. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remaining shall not precede those that are asleep, but we shall call up the air, meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hey, that's good news today. Read the good news before you read the bad news. He's heard tidings from the Lord. I will come again and receive you unto myself. He's heard tidings from the Lord. And we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. At this moment, the man that used to sit right up there and control that PA system, the man who used to sit with us in deacon meeting and help me through these years like a rock at Gibraltar, they don't make him any better than Oliver Douglas. At this moment, he's looking in the face of Jesus. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I said? He's heard tidings from the Lord. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's heard tidings from the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. He's heard tidings from the Lord. We shall rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. He's heard tidings from the Lord. There's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above your able, and will with temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. No wonder you're discouraged. You got your eyes on the stupid newspaper, and the magazines, and the radio, and the television set, and garbage and filth and rot comes across it, and you know more about Oprah than you know about John the Baptist. There is a man. That man does not go to the movie houses. That man does not have an HBO on his television set. That man does not watch the dirty soap operas. That man does not look at the filthy things in the newspapers. That man does not read the garbage about man's depravity. That man looks at God's book and says, I'm not afraid of evil tidings because I have tidings from the Lord. He has tidings from the Lord. God committed his love toward us, and while we are sinners, Christ died for us. He has tidings of the Lord.
nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, tidings to the Lord, looking for that blessed hope and the doors appearing of thy great God. He has tidings to the Lord, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. He has tidings from the Lord, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. He has tidings to the Lord, the O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He has tidings to the Lord, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He has tidings to the Lord, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. He has tidings from the Lord, I am the first and the last. He has tidings to the Lord omnipotent reigneth.
Oh, by the way, you can be that man. That man has nothing you don't have. That man has the same Holy Spirit living in him that you have living in you. Folks come to my office cracking up. Absolutely cracking up. And I'll be honest with you, if I laid my burdens out right here and they laid theirs out here, you couldn't even see theirs. Well, you say, Brother House, how do you take all you take? I have tidings from the Lord. But the best news of all, the best tidings of all is that you don't have to go to hell when you die. Let the storm clouds roll. Let the stinking atheists take the Bible from our public school system. Let them take prayer from our school desk. Let them name a street in Chicago after stinking Hugh Hefner and his stinking playboy philosophy. Let them let the institutions of higher learning, which are no more than institutions of scabby learning, let those institutions make light of God's word. But bless God, the Lord omnipotent reigneth, and at the last day he shall stand. You don't have to tremble and be afraid in times of evil tidings, because we have tidings from the Lord.
And of course, the best of all is, if you're here this morning, you never trusted Christ. You don't know you're going to heaven when you die. You have a right to be troubled. You have a right to be fearful. You have a right to be pessimistic. But this morning, you can walk out those doors with your name written in heaven, your sins forgiven, your sins recorded on Jesus' record, and His righteousness recorded on your record. You can walk out those doors knowing you're going to heaven yet. Oh, you say, preacher, what church is it? It's no church. Well, what preacher can resolve my sin? The Pope in Rome can't resolve your sins. He's got enough sins to care for of his own.
But there is one. Born in a little stable. No room in the hotel. Hay for a bed and a pillow. Who came to earth as God incarnate and lived a life of 33 years. Foxes had holes and birds had nests, but he had no bed to lay his head. He had no pillow on which to rest his weary brow. 33 homesick years he lived here. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. After 33 years of a perfect life without ever sinning, he went to the cross. Here's what he did on the cross. He took every sin you've ever committed and wrote it right across the top of that cross. And he said, I am paying for your sins. You don't have to go to hell. I am suffering your hell for you. As I said yesterday at the graduation prior, City Baptist Bus Kids School, sometime between the time that you're born and the time you die, it's going to take more than your church. It's going to take more than your priest. It's going to take more than your sacraments. It's going to take more than your absolution. It's going to take more than your confession. It's going to take more than your baptism. It's going to take more than your communion. It's going to take a personal acceptance by you of the will. I will accept Jesus as my Savior and as my hope for heaven. I will. And this morning, the good tidings is, you can have your sins forgiven now. You can walk out the door as a child of the King. I pastor more people than any man who's ever lived. As I told Ms. Hiles this week, I can't see all the people that want to see me. I need that. I'm sorry. People get upset with me because here's a pastor. Most pastors don't have that many adults. They have in the choir. I can't see everybody. I wish I could, but I can point you to one who can see you. I can't hear all of your problems. I've got a stack of requests now. I'll never get to all of them. But I can tell you one who's everywhere. I can tell you one who said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This morning, I don't think there's any man that's ever lived that hears more bad news than I hear. Don't misunderstand me. I don't read the Inquirer. The only thing bad I read about the paper is the score of the Cubs ball games. That's why I have to rush to the Bible in a hurry. But there's never a day, never, never a day of my life that my heart is not broken because of evil tidings. People I love dearly. I said to Ms. Howes this morning, I'll be more attentive to you than Boyd and Joe Boyd. I love them, but I can't. I'm swamped. I can't do it. But I hear it all the time. But thank God this morning in the day of evil tidings, I'm a pretty strong old man. I can take it fairly well. You know why? Because I spend my time getting good news from the Lord. I'm not afraid of evil tidings. I don't like them. They hurt me like they hurt you. But that doesn't matter, brother. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All of the ground is seeking sand. I dare not trust the sweet refrain, but only me on Jesus' name. Trust Him this morning. If you're His child, trust Him for the future, the present. If you're not His child, trust Him as your Savior. Walk down these aisles and say yes to Christ today. And you'll not need ever again be afraid of evil tidings. For with the prophet Obadiah in the day of darkness and doom, that little prophet of doom, you can say, we have heard tidings from the Lord. Shall we stand, please? The choir's going to sing. Walk down the aisle this morning and say, yes, I'm going to receive Christ. If you never trusted Him, leave your seat. Come to the aisle, down to the front. There'll be someone here waiting for you. And say this morning, I'm going to make this day the day of decision. I'm going to accept the tidings that have come from the Lord, trusting Him as my Savior. The choir will sing, come quickly.